it's really great to come back to Pittsburgh after 30 years and get a warm reception, as I did. And I want to really thank Joan and Michael both. I called them up out of the blue and said, hey, I'm here. You know, I've been here for 30 years. I'm a writer. And I was really touched because they both said the exact same thing. Are you a telemarketer? So. Anyway, that aside, thank you for the warmth. My first poem is about Pittsburgh, ironically, because I wrote this in Cambridge and never thought that I would read it here. So if it's tautological to anyone, I apologize. And if you want to look up the word tautology, I'll save you the trouble on Google as everyone reaches for their phone. It really just means the science of why people wear skinny jeans. That'll be a lot funnier tomorrow. Chemistry lesson. Jimmy ran down the street shouting he had grabbed a corner of the universe. You know how you can see the colors in the streets in Pittsburgh when it rains like that? The smell of gasoline running in the gutters. It makes the moon shine brighter, he said as he poured his beer out. He was always telling the glue sniffers about the Chinese poets. They always lived in basements and wore clothes that smelled like Vaseline. Jimmy didn't have friends. He had students. The way they would look at him, like those big dogs that tilt their heads when you talk to them. When we caught up to him, he was pissing in the gutter, some gang chasing after us because they thought Jimmy was gay. Jimmy laughing, the rain, the beer, the piss, it's all the same, he instructed. The challenge of reading here is not getting your feet stuck. It's sort of like being in the sand in an ocean. This is called Fear of Flying, and I want to thank the workshop people here from the Poetry Exchange for help with this one. How am I doing with the microphone? Okay. Fear of Flying. Sometimes when it rains too much, the angels crouch on power lines, reluctant to fly, as their wings would cut holes in the water that the world could see. Sometimes an old farmer will hear them whispering stories about their lives as cats and remembering dimly their more primitive incarnations, joking about who cut stone in Egypt or who fought for Alexander in Persia and who thought love was forever. But they always grow quiet when they run out of memories and realize that they can never die again. Eventually, one will stand and spread his wings and try to convince the others that it's okay, that no one ever looks up anymore, except the cats, who were ghosts in the rain anyway. I've been spending a lot of time in ICUs and ICU waiting rooms the past month, and so this kind of came out of the closet, and I rewrote it recently. Intensive care. I imagine it must be like being buried inside a poem, feeling the pressure of the words between your fingers like dirt, breath after breath ticking away, the number of them becoming pointless when now the sum of you is measured in liters and milligrams. Your wife speaks of you as Freud spoke of Leonardo. She feels she needs to explain all of this. It's the density of the moments that so overwhelm her, each one so crystalline, like God without the religion. But this isn't about the sadness or what will never happen now. It's about what is left after the words are gone and the earthworms have eaten all the dreams. This is called Striptease. He had a meeting downtown in one of the new skyscrapers, and the office had a telescope. The red trucks came screaming onto the bridge below him from all directions, like a chorus of birds on fire. He watched the man climbing hand over hand up the steel cables until the man stood and had only the wind to hold on to. It had been a beautiful day, the sun shouting away the pollution, the river covered in razors, and the world crawling along happily through the magnified glass below. The man took off each piece of clothing and let it fall, first his jacket, then his belt, kicked off both shoes, then his shirt, pants, and watch. Even his ring, which was a struggle. Each piece finding flight in its own way, some flapping, some just stones, Finally, the man undid his tie, which he held out like an offering between his hands, when suddenly it flew up and away as if a piece of his soul had gone AWOL and would never return. Not that it really matters, but the body hit the water first.
Thank you.
Johnny Carson. This is called Second Anniversary. Somewhere in the distance, a motorcycle going nowhere. Too many years between us, but not enough parents. The wrong one of us asleep. A job no one loves, waiting in the morning. One of us turns over, mutters something, then folds into the other. For some reason, hearing the motor fade, I suddenly understood time. The fear of it falling away like the first instant that you balance on a bicycle. The realization that an origami of moments can press centuries into seconds, just like that. Awoke to find you sleeping, thought about the 2 years, waited for you to open your eyes. It's taking forever. Continuing on with relationship poems. Aftermath. The calls now are not about building walls, but making them higher, about creating memories of pain that never happened. Now, pain becomes the cowardice that clears the path forward, allows us to move apart faster, like running on hot coals. Before, we said words like forever to strengthen what was weak in our hearts. We said, I will love you forever, when we were afraid to admit to ourselves how petty our desires were. We said it in quiet rooms by candlelight, where there were no witnesses to hold us to the cold truth of how much love actually weighs, even in the ghost of a whisper. This is called projection. When we think back to our first loves, we always see them as they were when young, and in that moment become the cinematographers of our dreams, which is why we are all in love with Hollywood, and why Hollywood needs to meet us in the dark. We love the dark not for the way it makes Hollywood look, but for how it hides our faces when we suddenly remember we are no longer young when the film is over. Thank you very much.